Welcome to the You Rising podcast, where you get a chance to meet and hear from leaders who are helping us bring the You on an upward trajectory. We have remarkable things happening at the University of Utah, and the You Rising podcast is a way for you to hear about that personally with the people who are making that great change happen. I have two guests today, Dr. Daniel Leung, who's an associate professor of internal medicine, and Dr. Jessica Kramer, who's an assistant professor in bioengineering. So I think, Daniel, maybe we'll start with you. I understand that you're leading our campus's I3 initiative, and I hope you'll tell our listeners a bit about what the I3 initiative is and how it relates particularly to COVID-19.
Yeah, so I'm an infectious disease doctor, which means that after medical school, I did a residency in internal medicine and then a fellowship in infectious disease. And I then proceeded to a postdoctoral training in research. And currently, one part of my research group is focused on a wet lab or laboratory-based project on the immunology of intestinal and respiratory infections. And then the second part of my research group focuses on the epidemiology and clinical management of diarrheal infections. And both here in the U.S. and internationally, so I collaborate with people from scientists from Bangladesh, Vietnam, Haiti, Cameroon, and Mali. And part of how I got into all this diarrhea and kind of infectious disease research is I spent 4 years in Bangladesh working on cholera immunology after I finished my clinical training and before I moved into my independent faculty position here at the University of Utah. So what brought me to Utah was the opportunity to work with a number of different scientists and physicians that are studying infectious diseases and immunology. And and it's been a great opportunity to great to see all these collaborations come to fruition over the past few years. So the three I's stand for immunology, inflammation, and infectious disease. It's an initiative that serves to create a stronger community of researchers so that we can better understand and how a number of diseases that are featured in the three I's and also how they interact. We focus on a wide range of diseases, including infectious ones such as sepsis, malaria, influenza, autoimmune ones such as multiple sclerosis or inflammatory bowel disease, and also malignancy, so tumor immunology and immunotherapy. So this 3i initiative is headed by myself, my co-director, Ryan O'Connell, in pathology, as well as associate director, Dr. Nicole Frank. And what we do is we try to work together to grow and support interdisciplinary collaborations to drive these fields forward. And with regards to COVID-19, when this disease came on our radar, we sent an email to our listserv, and this listserv includes over 500 researchers around campus representing over 30 departments, just to see who's doing research associated with COVID-19. And we got an overwhelming response, both people who were interested and people who, like Dr. Kramer, are already working on COVID-19. And based on that, we organized a symposium, a virtual research symposium, to highlight work going across campuses. And we also worked with the Vice President of Research Office to fund seed grants for our community. And we've also put together a website that is updated daily with federal funding opportunities. And we've been trying to proactively engage and connect investigators with different expertise to work together on COVID-19 projects.
That's just spectacular. I think we often believe that solutions to big, big societal problems will come when people from different disciplines with different expertise can come together and bring those ideas to bear on solving problems. If you had to describe some of the U's headlines related to COVID-19, how would you describe those? Areas where you see us really accelerating work and where you think we can have an impact?
Yeah, great question. So we, based on this virtual symposium, I've been able to be familiar with some of the work around campus. I think there is a question of, you know, will this virus go away during the summer? And how does a virus survive outside the host? And Dr. Safari and Dr. Kramer are working on that here on the main campus. There's also a question of, do we have drugs or can we make drugs to treat COVID-19? So we have a group on the health science campus that's looking at therapeutics at targeting the virus itself. We have another group who is working on a therapeutic to target host inflammation, as well as another group that's looking at how to optimally dose existing drugs to treat COVID-19 in children. So I think those are some of the areas where the University of Utah can really bring this field forward. And I don't want to ignore also, there are groups working on the modeling of how this virus, this infection could spread, as well as groups looking at, can we figure out who exactly to test, given our limited testing capacity. Those are all very relevant news, kind of prominent on the news topics that are being addressed by researchers on campus.
Thank you so much. And I think I am going to be speaking for so many people when I say we wish every success for those efforts and really important work that's happening in the I3 initiative playing a big role in that. So Jessica, I might turn to you a little bit and ask you to tell us about your background and how it comes to be that a bioengineer has areas of work that relate to COVID-19.
Hi, President Watkins. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you. So my background is in the chemistry and biochemistry of proteins and sugars. And so I started studying these structures as an undergrad, actually, at the University of Utah in biochemistry. And then I moved on to postgrad and grad studies at UCLA, Berkeley, and Stanford. And there I got really interested in the science of mucus. And mucus is mainly composed of protein and sugars. And so now a major focus of what my lab works on is engineering artificial mucus systems to study how cells interact with things like viruses, but also bacteria and other things that enter the body through mucus.
Wow. I have to say that's an interesting angle and, of course, highly relevant in COVID-19. Tell us about your NSF grant. I understand you have an NSF rapid grant that I'm guessing is designed to respond quickly to urgent topics. Give a little description of that, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm pleased. My proposed studies have been recommended for funding by the NSF. And the idea behind these particular funding mechanisms is to rapidly generate research that we need in response to, for example, a national emergency such as COVID-19. And what my lab is trying to understand is the role that mucus plays in COV transmission. When people cough or sneeze, they expel mucus-containing fluids into the air. And that is the whole reason that we are all distancing from each other right now. And so these airborne mucus droplets can be suspended in the air for up to 3 hours, but they can also land on hard surfaces and they can be transmitted directly onto the mucus membranes of the next victim, such as, you know, in their eyes or lungs or mouth. And so these mucus droplets are carrying the virus. And there are hundreds of different forms of the proteins and sugars that are in mucus. And so these different forms, they change from person to person. We don't all actually have the same mucus. And coronavirus, there are different forms, and some of these bind actually directly to the mucus. And so my lab is going to study how these different mucus types affect the viability of the virus in the air, on surfaces, or as they migrate through the mucus before they enter the cells of the next person. So our hope is to use this information to identify which people are most likely to spread the virus at higher rates, which people are most vulnerable to the virus making it through their mucus. And also, you know, we'd like to try to come up with ways to block coronavirus from binding to mucus in the first place.
Yeah, I think that seems so important and so promising in terms of how we might ultimately prevent the spread of this disease. And so I think it sounds very, very important in terms of informing clinical science and practice. And clearly, in the absence of the kind of information that you're trying to help us discover, the very best thing we can do is physically distance and prevent that contact in the first place.
Absolutely.
Well, I thank you both so much for taking a little bit of time away from very important work. We appreciate that you'd be willing to share with our campus and our community a little bit about this urgent research that you're pursuing. I'd say, Daniel, we're just delighted that you chose us, and Jessica, you too. I think just It must be for someone in your fields, particularly in infectious disease, both a very exciting and interesting time when we have a situation like we have with coronavirus and COVID-19, and also a little bit terrifying. I would imagine the combination of both, this is real science happening around us every day. You're seeing the impacts of an infectious disease, and we are all seeing the importance of science that helps advance knowledge and human health. So we're grateful for the work you do.
Yeah. Thanks, President Watkins.
Wouldn't it be if Utah played a key role in helping us better understand and treat and prevent this disease? So
Yeah, we're working towards it as a community, and I really appreciate the invitation to talk with you about it. And actually, it's the first time, this COVID-19 is the first time we've worked closely with the VPR office.
Yeah.
We're more a health science initiative. And it's, you know, if there's silver lining in this, is actually bringing people together that wouldn't have otherwise come together for this very, you know, relevant pertinent infectious disease cause. So,
yeah, I think that's so right. And I do think, you know, one of the things that has puzzled me about the way laboratory science works, and it seems that a crisis might be the opportunity to break down some of these barriers. But if you could build large scale collaborations across the nation of labs that would work at different parts of the science continuum, it seems to me like we could move faster. And I know there's always a balance between the individual investigator creativity and innovation and then a program of research that's leading toward an outcome. I applaud both parts of what you're doing to really try to say, how can we work together in a collaborative way to advance knowledge and support individual investigators' ideas? So every success ahead, I hope. Thank you both. I'm going to be cheering for you in every possible way. And also, I want to thank our listeners for joining us today and taking a few minutes to hear about two very active, vibrant researchers who are representatives of a much larger community at the University of Utah, working to help us better understand and ultimately know how to treat and prevent COVID-19. So thank you all. Stay well, healthy, and safe. And I think today we heard a good lesson about why physical distancing really matters. So thanks, and best wishes to everyone.